Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today, I'm in the Steel Studios, and we're going to talk about teaching the teachers and how you can improve your training at your landscaping company. But first, a reminder, you can get the greatest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can even watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since great son-in-laws. My two oldest daughters are married, and I have wonderful son-in-laws, great son-in-laws. I'm about to have a third great son-in-law this September when my youngest daughter gets married. My two current son-in-laws take great care of my daughters. They're kind, they're hardworking, and they're a lot of fun to be around. I am so fortunate for both of them. And the third young man that's joined our family is an awesome young man as well. And here's the big message. I think at times in the hustle and bustle of working in the green industry, we forget to be grateful for some things that are right in front of us. Things like good health, a great team, great clients, as the bad ones can sometimes make you feel otherwise, right? Food and shelter and friends, and of course, great son-in-laws. Now on to The Grow Show, Teach the Teachers. At Grunder Landscaping Company, folks, we've seen an incredible return on training. We like to say that training is an investment. It is not an expense. And we have learned a lot about what to do and not to do with training. Let's start out with what not to do. Number one, just throw it all together. I see way too many companies just throw their training together. There was the famous episode that we had here. It was 45 minutes of someone standing in front of all of our team reading about bugs from a piece of paper, and the people had the piece of paper. I remember watching that. I remember watching for an hour as our team taught the rest of our team how to seed bare spots. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't train for bare spots, but really, an hour on doing that? I mean, it's just terrible. That's some well intentions going on there, but it's not good execution. And you can just say, oh, it's raining, let's train. Now, that's fine if you've got it planned out and you have the session and everything. But the best thing and the biggest thing you got to understand is, why are you training? It shouldn't be an afterthought. This isn't just something to check the box off. This is something to make your company better. Training is an investment, not an expense. And that leads me to the main point of this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel, that training is serious, so serious that you have to teach your teachers, all right? And I think you have to start out by thinking about what type of a session would you want to attend or partake in. At Grow, our annual event for landscape professionals, there's a reason that none of our sessions are longer than 45 minutes. People, adults, learning don't want to sit for longer than that, all right? Now, we'll get into that a little bit more here in a minute, but I wanted to plant a seed there about Grow and why we train the way we do. So what are some other things that you shouldn't do? Rambling, like you're not prepared, so you just start talking about stuff. You're telling everybody about a cleanup, and you just say, well, first you do this, and then second you do this, and then you go over here and rake this out, and then you fill out your paperwork. Well, That's why you practice for this. That's why you take time to plan it out. That's why you put an SOP together, okay? Don't dim the lights and show a PowerPoint. For God's sake, shoot me. Nobody wants to do that. I've watched training sessions here where we have done that, and we talk via PowerPoint for 30, 35 minutes, and then we look out to everyone, and they say, okay, any questions? And what do you think everybody does? They just look at you with no questions. They were asleep 25 minutes ago. A good teacher, my wife is a recently retired kindergarten teacher, has the students engaged. They're teaching. They're asking questions. It's exciting. There's laughter. There's a joke. There's a picture. All right. Sometimes when we train, I come out in a pylon suit. I have a mannequin type thing that makes me look like a pylon. All right. We don't teach on things that really won't help the business. Now, I get why you want to do training on a morning because you think you're doing good about how to manage your 401k, but we have a tremendous amount of H-2B workers. They don't have a 401k, all right? If you want to have the company that does your 401k offer up your conference room at the end of the day when everybody's clocked out and you want to be nice and buy them pizzas and Gatorades or sodas or whatever, that's fine. But to take up company time where everyone's clocked in, because in all of our training, they're clocked in, to talk about 401k or eating better or working out, I just don't see value in that. Can you do a 30-minute session of which 15 of it is, you know, why you're going to have a better day if you eat right and wearing sunscreen and other things? I think that's good. And I think that's smart. Okay. Those also can be short videos that you post on your private Facebook account as well. But good training is training to the things that the company does, landscaping work. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second. But here's the big thing as we go into talking about training and teaching your teachers. You should always be starting with a why and always be reminding your team why you train. We train to become more efficient. When we're more efficient, we're more profitable. We train to make sure we do the work that we're doing right the first time so we don't have to go back and have callbacks so our clients are happy. We train so that all of you come back here safely with all of your hands and all of your other body parts in your life. We train. This is why we're training. And in the process of training, folks, you're creating more leaders. Our mission statement here at the Grunder Landscaping Company is to create opportunities for our team to grow and succeed by enhancing the beauty and value of every client's property while exceeding their expectations every step of the way. When you are training people, you're making them better. The better they become, the more skills they acquire, the more valuable they are to your company, the more money they make, the higher they go up on the org chart, the more you can grow. We're going to open up a second location here soon, and it's going to be comprised of people that have done well here at the mothership at the main location, okay? We create opportunities for our teams to grow and succeed by training, all right? By showing them how to get things different, get things better and be different in the process. So how do we train? Well, I think one of the things you got to understand that there's a mindset that you have to have. If you recall back to your first day of work, or if your little brother or sister were going to be starting work at your company and they're not on your crew, what would you hope we train them on? What would you want them to be told? How would you want to make sure they came back safely? What would you do? That was kind of an epiphany for me almost 16 years ago when my oldest daughter got her first job and she came home and was talking about all the time they took with her to show her how to do the job that she was doing. And I remember saying to my wife, I'm like, I got to get going. We don't do anything like that. Like, we got to think through this stuff, okay? You know, having it happen to my kid right there, and it was done in a good way, by the way. I also have a story when my son worked at a golf course and he came home, he's 16 years old, and I said, how'd you do today? He goes, oh, I had a blast. I got to drive the tractor and pick up the balls on the golf range. I said, you drove that old Ford tractor? He's like, yeah. I said, the one that doesn't have a ROPS on it? He's like, what's a ROPS? I said, a rollover protection system. He's like, what's that? It's a bar on the back. In case the tractor flips over, you don't get crushed. It stops it. He goes, well, I was being careful, but there's all these hills in the driving range. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you did that. You did that to my son. What are you doing? We need to think through this stuff. A lot of our H-2B workers come from countries where there's not a culture of safety, and we have to watch them. We catch them not wearing safety glasses. We catch them not wearing a seatbelt. And by the way, that's a major infraction here if you do both of those, all right? Safety is very, very important. But I think in the back of that, what we have to understand as leaders is this, and this is something if you've been following me for a while, you've heard me say this time and time again. There's three reasons why people don't do what you want and need them to do. All right. And there's only three reasons. The first reason somebody doesn't do what you want and need them to do is you haven't properly trained or equipped them to do the job. First reason, you haven't properly trained or equipped them to do the job. The second reason is they don't have the capacity to do the job. All right. They couldn't do the job right because they don't have the capacity. Maybe you trained them. Maybe they don't catch on to it. All right. You could take me over to the bowling alley and put me on the main bowling team. And I don't care how many times I throw that ball down the alley. I'm not going to score a 300. I'm going to score like an 88 and put them in the gutters. I'm going to look like I shouldn't be on the team. Yeah, I don't have the capacity to be a good bowler. You could train me all you want. I'm not going to figure out how to do it at a level someone I see these kids and pro bowlers doing it. All right. So capacity. And then the third reason people don't do what you want and need them to do is they have a bad attitude. And the most dangerous of all people in organizations are smart people with a bad attitude, because the smart people are very influential. People respect their knowledge. They listen to their voice, and they can cause a lot of problems in your organization. They can be a cancer to your organization. The first reason, again, that somebody didn't do what you want and need them to do was you haven't properly equipped or trained them. And you always got to look at that first one and own it and train. When Jim comes back and you don't like the way the job looks, the shrubs weren't spaced right in the pictures he's showing you, that's on you, all right? Because you probably haven't trained him. Now, if you've trained him and you've shown him and you've gone over this, then he may not have the capacity to do it, or maybe he's got a bad attitude. Maybe he's not teaching. But we teaching the crew how to do this. But you have to always look at yourself. And that's why training is the root of a lot of our problems, all right? So steps to teach your teachers to train and teach better. I've got a few of them here, and they're not necessarily in any particular order except for the very first one. You've got to be teaching the people on your team that are teaching. You've got to teach them safety is of paramount concern. That is number one thought in everything that we do. Every single one of our trucks, right above the door latch on the truck, says think safety, all right? So number one, be safe in all that you do. In the past several years, we've filmed videos with the Steel Corporation, the sponsor of this wonderful podcast, or at least I think it's a wonderful podcast, and Vermeer Corporation, a major sponsor of the Grow annual event. They are so careful in any videos that we do that we have gone to the nth degree with safety. It's like rubbed off on me in a good way. Like I am really a super focused person on safety. Number one, be safe. Teach your people in all that you're doing, you're being safe. Even if you're going to talk about cleanliness and housekeeping, there's a safety angle on that. I would argue that just about everything you talk about has a safety angle to it. So number one, be safe. Number two, and this is probably might be the best one I have to share with you on training, is have patience. We had a young man that worked here several years ago, Zach. He was actually my neighbor's son. The first 10 days he worked here, folks, it was a struggle. I mean, we even had discussions about letting him go. That's how bad it was. He got behind the mower and the mower was just taking him everywhere. He couldn't get straight lines. I mean, it was getting really difficult. But we trained him more. And, you know, 30 days later, Zach was doing straight lines. The team leader went on vacation and Zach ran the crew for 10 days with the big truck and the trailer. And Zach ended up being one of the best young men that we had working in the summer in the history of the company. You have to have patience with people. I often drive by and see startups. There's a real nice young man here in town that's got a little business that I've talked to. And I think this is maybe his third or fourth year in business. And I'm going to text him because I want him to know I call him JoJo. I've seen some work he's done of late, and it's fantastic compared to the work I saw him doing just 4 years ago. We are all like that, folks. Have patience, all right? You weren't that good when you started either, so have patience. Number three, be detailed. Follow standard operating procedures. I don't know if you've heard the wonderful product Greenius. It is a super product that we use for training. It's got a whole bunch of videos and lessons that you can use. Greenius has the option of customizing stuff in there now. Check out Greenius. Just Google it and look at it. It's something you should include in your training. Other people that help us with our training, we've got Tommy Johnson, who helps us with Hunter FX lighting and some irrigation things. We've got the local sheriff that's helped us with safe driving. We've had a dermatologist write us up something we could share on skin cancer. You can get a lot of your people that you're doing business with to help you. You don't have to do it on your own. They can give you probably, a lot of them have memos that you can use to teach. You may want to have them come in for part of it and teach it with you to help. You've got thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Most of those equipment manufacturers have help. Steel has ways to help you with training your guys and gals on the safe use of the equipment. So you can get some of them, and it can kind of spice it up when you have a guest that can come in and teach with you. I know when I bring in the local deputy sheriff to talk about defensive driving and safely driving, that guy and his presence and his uniform and his badge and his gun, it's a good thing. It goes over well. Number four, clarity. It is so important to be clear. It is so important to open up the teaching by saying, this is what we're going to teach today. Here's why. When we're done, you should be able to do this. These are things that you should be following with your teachers, all right? The next one, repetition. It's always good to do repetition. Anytime, if you're teaching how to install boulders, install pavers, how to spray Roundup, how to weed eat, to get the equipment in the hands of your students and have them try it and do the repetition and mix a little bit. When I say repetition, I don't just mean in that session. Maybe wait a week and go over it again and see how they're doing with it, all right? The repetition. The next one I want to talk to you about is looking for opportunities. Where are the warranties? Where have we had to go out and replace plants or fix pavers or repair mistakes, cover up mistakes, not cover up mistakes as far as like cover them up, not tell, but you know, you tore something up, you have to go fix it. You've got to redo the mulch, whatever it is. Where have we had issues? Where have there been injuries? Look at your workers' comp report. We just had an OSHA inspector come in. We asked them to come in and tell us on, and they went out on job sites and all kinds of things. Tell us where you see some issues that we should train to. The good news is we got a great report and we got some minor things that we can work on, but we let the team know we're working on this stuff. Where have we had damaged property? Where have we had upset clients? Where have you, as the owner or leader of your department or your company, where have you been frustrated? How can you be frustrated with your team about what they did if you didn't train them? Remember the three reasons? First reason they don't do what you want them to do is because you haven't trained them. You got to train. How can you get better? What's the SWOT of the company? What are the strengths of the company? Write them all down. What are the weaknesses of the company? Write them all down. Where are the opportunities? How can we take some strengths, apply those to opportunities and get better? How can we take weaknesses and fix them and maybe make them better opportunities? And then threats. What are things that could put us out of business or cause us a lot of damage, either, you know, harm in terms of physical harm, accidents, so on and so forth, or financial harm? Where are the threats? Do we have all those covered? We should be looking around and say, you know, in the last week, what frustrated me? Is there any training I could do that could make that better? Gosh, it seems like everybody doesn't understand that at the end of the day, you need to hustle and get, you know, get your stuff put away and clocked out. That's how the company gets better. Well, how about teaching a session on indirect time and what that means? So there's all kinds of things going on. And the big point that I want to get, I got a few more before we wrap it up. When you get your team involved in the teaching, everything's not on you, owners. I'm speaking to owners and the upper leaders. You should have your whole team involved in the training. If you're going to teach them how to weed eat, why would you not take some of your senior weed eating guys that you have that run a weed eater all day? And why would you not give them an opportunity to talk about how to weed eat in front of everyone? How bad are they going to mess that up? What a great opportunity to get them involved and get them buy-in. That's how we grow a company, when people feel like not every direction is coming from the owner, like we're all in this together. All right, a couple more ideas. Praise. You know, Vince Torchia, my partner here in the Grow Group, got a puppy about 4 years ago. And when he went to get the puppy, in typical Vince Torchia fashion, he doesn't do anything in a half you know what way. He went and bought like 9 books on raising a puppy and he read them all. And he's in the office one day and he said, "Hey, Marty," he goes, "you know, I got this puppy, Charlie." I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "and I've read a whole bunch of books on puppy training." I said, "I'm sure you did." He's like, "you know what's amazing? Every single book talks about the power of praise for your pet." And he said, "I'm not telling you people are dogs, but people are the same way. And we sometimes don't realize what praise can do for people. Like, they know it here in this dog training book, but it dawned on me, like, we didn't do a better job of praising our team at Grunder and praising our team at the Grow Group." I said, "Vince, amen, you're right. Thank you for the little lesson." So we can teach all we want, but then if you're a really good leader, if you're a really good teacher, you should teach your teachers to then go out and look for examples of the things that you've trained on done right and say, "hey, here's a picture of Tommy's spring cleanup. Note the edges, note the perfect mulch spraying. And I also took a picture of it a month later. There's not a weed in the whole bed. He must have put the pre-emergent down perfectly. Tommy, thank you. Way to go." That's how we teach the teachers, getting them involved. If you're going to grow your business, owners, it's not going to be if you're doing all this stuff. You have to let someone else stand up in the spotlight and shine. We just mentioned praise. Even more powerful than praise is third-party praise. Third-party praise goes like this. Hey, Alan, I was talking to Marty. He said that his yard at his house and the work you have done with Nick in the LK department has made a tremendous difference. He says he can tell you've been working with him. Now, I can tell Alan thanks for working with Nick and making him better, and I'm sure Alan would appreciate that. But if you think about it, if Alan knows that I was talking about him in a positive way to somebody else, man, third-party praise goes a real long way. If you think back in your life, or if you think of times when someone told you, someone else said that you do a great job, I think you will remember those were some of the most impactful words that you've heard. So be smart about that. The last one that I want to share with you here in this, and this is so important, is a recap. And I learned this from Jason New, our strategic partners at McFarland Stanford. When we met them 8 years ago and started doing a lot of teaching together, Jason told me about the power of training, that you always, when you start out this training, you talk about what you talked about the week before, you do the training, you talk about what you're going to do next week, and you're always tying it all together. And then you're always asking, hey, remember 2 months ago, we trained on chainsaw safety. Who can remember what the two most important things on chainsaw safety are? Billy, what is it? You wear all the PPE equipment and you never take your hands off the handles. That's right, Snickers candy bar for you. You're always tying it together and you're building block on block on block. All right, some other thoughts to send your teachers to school as well on. Get your team involved in the teaching. All right, get them all involved in it. Ask them what they would do. Make them do the notes. If they're not adept at PowerPoint, you're showing a PowerPoint in your shop, then have someone help them, but get them involved. And bring up pop quizzes too, okay? So many times I see no recall or refocus. We just blurt this all out and we say, that's it. All right, any questions? At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, the best training is simple, to the point, fun, and relevant and timely. Simple, to the point, fun, and relevant and timely. If you're going to grow the business, folks, you got to grow your people. And you got to grow the people by training them, by training your team, by teaching your teachers constantly. Imagine how someone feels when they teach. It's a great way to develop leaders, to give them small little projects and see how they do, have them take ownership in what you are doing. And by all means, folks, send your teachers to Grow, our annual event. It'll be in Columbus, Ohio, February 24th, 25th, and 26th. They will learn all sorts of lessons to make your team better. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team. Just take it. You'll see it there on your podcast. It says share episode with a little box and an arrow. Text that to one of your buddies. That's how you could really help us. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.